Hello. Welcome to Be Your Best Self Health Chats, weekly casual conversations about taking health into your own hands. I am your host, Kristen Longacre.
When someone comes to me to eat healthier or to get nutrition coaching, they're often surprised to find out I don't just write up a meal plan and say, okay, let's work on eating this. Well, first of all, I'm not a registered dietitian. I'm a nutrition coach. So legally, I can't write you a meal plan. But that's not the point I'm trying to make here. As a nutrition coach, I work with people on nutrition, on their plate, and the habits off their plate, because those are just as important when it comes to the nutrition. There's this saying, abs are made in the kitchen, and I'm going to call BS on that today. Sure, eating habits absolutely matter when it comes to building your abs or whatever your health goals are, but they're not the only thing that matters. And I think that's something that is very, very lost when people start their health journey. They often turn right to food and say, okay, I'm going on a diet. But what you eat is only a piece of what can come from your health journey. How you sleep, how you move your body, what your stress levels are, and the food on your plate, just to name the big pieces of what comes with a health journey. Together, those things make a cycle that is really the foundation of your overall health. Hey guys, it's Kristen. We are going to jump into the episode in just a second, but before we do, I need to tell you about the Busy Mom's Guide to Meal Planning. It's going to teach you a 15-minute process that will take the stress out of mealtime. So you no longer have to hear, what's for dinner tonight? Stress about what you're going to throw in the oven when you get home for work, or deal with figuring out mealtime when you have been at an evening of activities at school. The answer to your family's dinnertime questions is the Busy Mom's Guide to Meal Planning. In this guide, it is going to take you step by step through defining healthy for your family, finding new recipes in places you might not expect, planning meals around your schedule, not planning your schedule around meals, and having a plan at the grocery store so you don't end up with more than you need and spending money on junk you don't want in your house. Click the link in the show notes to grab your guide for $9.95. The guide will be emailed to you to print out, fill out, and send you on your way. Soon you're going to be rocking mealtime and you're going to forget that stress ever existed. When your sleep is off, you're less likely to reach for healthier foods. When your sleep is off, you tend to have cravings. You don't have the time to prepare the food. You're tired in the morning. When you're reaching for less healthy foods, you're less likely to move your body because your body is reacting and it's tired. When your stress levels are high, all three of them suffer. Together, they make this cycle that's really, really, really easy to get stuck in. But in order to talk about the cycle as a whole, we need to break down each one of them individually. And we're going to start with sleep because sleep is honestly one of the most overlooked aspects of your health. As a society, it seems like these days we're proud of staying up all night, or, you know, I worked till midnight and got up at 4 a.m. and did more work, and, you know, I can function on 4 hours of sleep, that kind of thing. But that is the very beginning of where your health is suffering, that lack of sleep. 8 hours is really the sweet spot for sleep, but it isn't for everyone. But I will tell you now that 4 hours is definitely not the sweet spot for anyone. Some people function better on 7 hours of sleep. Some function better on 9. However, one of the big things we run into is if you go more than 10 hours of sleep, you're resetting your sleep cycle, so you're going to wind up more tired than when you went to bed. Play around with your sleep sometime. See kind of how you feel if you get 7 hours. See how you feel if you get 9 hours. Keep track of that. Pay attention to what time you go to sleep, or at least you're laying down in bed, and what time you're waking up. Find your sweet spot on that timing. However, When we say you need to get more sleep, a lot of people will turn to things like sleeping pills or alcohol to help them sleep at night. But the problem with those is they actually disrupt your sleep because now your body has to spend the night fighting off these foreign invaders. Your body needs to sleep and recover, not fight them off. When you do things like drink alcohol before bed, your body is busy trying to process the alcohol you're drinking. Same thing with sleeping pills. If you take them, yes, they will knock you out. So you're physically sleeping, but while you're sleeping, your body is also trying to say, like, what are these pills? Why are they in me? I really want to process them and push them through. Whereas if you build a bedtime routine, or you can even use natural supplements, it's going to be a much better quality of sleep, so your body can just go right into your sleep cycles and get you that better night's sleep. The best way to get a good night's sleep is to build a bedtime routine that over time your body responds to. So if you are somebody who works from your bed with a laptop, your body is going to think that every time you get into bed, it's time to wake up and work. Whereas if you set limits for your room, you set limits for your bed, only sleep happens here, your body's going to start to recognize, our bodies are smart, it's going to start to recognize that when we're in this bed, we need to go to sleep. A lot of people will swear by things like magnesium, lavender, or chamomile, stuff like that. Those are awesome as well. But the key is to build a bedtime routine that helps you fall asleep at night. Whether it's taking a bath at a certain time every night, dimming the lights every night, starting at 7 o'clock, turning off technology. There are so many things you can be doing every night as part of that routine to set yourself up for a good night's sleep. Moving on from sleep, we move into movement. And a lot of times when we start talking about exercise, everyone's brains go, not everyone, but a lot of the times when we start talking about exercise, people's brains can sometimes go to, I don't run. And that is a conversation I have with my clients fairly often. And one of the things that gets lost is it doesn't have to be running or cardio that is your form of movement. Just because you're starting to move your body doesn't mean you have to go run a marathon. In fact, a mix of different workouts might be the best, but we're all individuals, so it's important to find out what kind of movement works for you. Because finding a movement that works for you is going to encourage you to actually do it. So many people give up because they think they have to go to the gym. They think they have to run. They think they have to get on the treadmill. They have to run laps. They have to lift heavy weights, use all these complicated machines. But maybe that's not for you. Maybe it's Pilates or yoga. Maybe it's simply going for a walk. Taking a bike ride, going swimming. Yes, lifting weights is awesome. Maybe HIIT classes or taking another kind of class at your local YMCA. However you feel like moving is what is best for you when starting your health journey. Now, if you are going for that six-pack abs, yes, there's going to be more to it. It's going to require more cardio. It's going to require more weightlifting and certain things. But when it comes to overall health, finding movement that works for you is what is going to be key. You want to find something that you like to do, and that will encourage you to continue to do it. Next comes your stress levels. When your stress levels are high, your body is operating in this fight or flight mode. So basically, our bodies are extremely smart, but when you're stressed, your body doesn't know if you're stressed because of an email at work or because a tiger is chasing you. All it knows is that your body, it needs to be in this fight or flight mode. When you're stressed, your body can't recover from things. So you're not going to get that good night's sleep because your body's going, is that tiger going to attack me? Is that tiger going to attack me? It makes getting that sleep rough. Right? And now there are things that are out of our control, but coming up with ways to manage your stress is going to make a big difference in the long run of your health. it also is going to make things like coming back from working out or doing your form of movement a whole lot easier. And it's going to reduce your cravings for things like chocolates or those sweets or the salty, whatever your craving of choice is. Keeping your stress levels in line or moderate is going to help with your overall health. So you can approach it in many, many, many different ways, but acknowledging what is causing your stress is the first way to start. You definitely want to know, okay, my stress levels are all coming from work, so how can I deal with it? Or my stress levels are coming from my schedule. How can I get ahead of it? Acknowledging where the stress is gives you the first step in figuring out how to deal with it. And again, there are things that are out of our control. But what you can do is you can get into things like meditation. Exercise is a great form of stress relief. Therapy can be a great form of stress release. Finding a coach who can help you deal with stress. Facing the problems, making a plan, things like that will help bring your stress levels down. And again, acknowledging it, where it's at and where it's starting is going to be the first step. Bringing your stress levels down is going to help movement, it's going to help sleep, and it's going to help the food on your plate. We're not going to dive in too deep to the food on your plate because I'm a nutrition coach and you have 75 other episodes that focus on food in various ways. So feel free to go back and dig into what your current situation is in a previous podcast episode. But the important part is knowing and trusting your body with the food on your plate. If you've listened to pretty much any of the other 75 episodes, you know that I am here to tell you to trust your body and listen to your body. Your body is extremely smart and it's going to tell you when these things are off. And it might not come out in ways that says, hey, you know that food we had for dinner last night? I didn't agree with it. You're not necessarily going to feel sick because you ate something, but you might come up with things like acne. Your stress levels might be higher. You might develop fevers. You might have stomach issues. You might not. You might have reflux. You might not. Bloating. There are so many different ways that your body is telling you that it doesn't like the food on your plate, and we are so quick to ignore it and just attribute it to other things going on in life. We rely on quick solutions for meals, and that isn't always a good thing. So while I'm not going to tell you to eliminate all processed foods because that is truly not realistic, it's important to find the right balance that works for you. Eliminating some of those processed foods, eliminating some of that fast food, bringing in more of the fruits, the veggies, the whole grains is going to help balance your body out a lot more. Those foods are what's going to give you that energy, not the caffeine and the coffee. The whole foods, the vitamins, the minerals, it's going to give you that energy to take on your stress levels. It's going to give you that energy to move your body. It's going to give you that energy to build that bedtime routine so you can sleep at night. The most important thing about this whole cycle is recognizing when it's off. Like I said, listening to your body will be key. Take notes, start a food journal. Write down how your sleep is going and how your sleep affects what you're eating. Write down how your movement affects what you're eating and how you're sleeping. Write down what you're eating, how it affects your sleeping. There is this cycle of health, and it's important that we start listening.
As always, it's great to have you here. And if you have a chance to visit iTunes or Spotify to rate and review, I would greatly appreciate it. The more reviews you give, the more people that can find this podcast. Send it to a friend. Come check back in next week.